Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell on SEN.
Star North Melbourne Ruckman, not far away, Todd Goldstein. He'll have a chat to us. Chris Anstey also to have a chat to us about all things basketball. 12 days, it's official. We'll take a few of your calls on that. Do you like that concussion protocol by the AFL? Is it too conservative, or do you like that blanket rule? We talked about it a lot with Dr. Peter Larkins yesterday on the program about everybody different and every sport is different. And there's the smaller concussions that aren't actually concussions. They're just head knocks that don't get put down as concussions that can accumulate, and you're not going to miss games for those. And they could be the ones that accumulate and cause the damage. They don't actually know. Doctors and medical science hasn't got us that far yet. But right now, the AFL has decided that it's a 12-day break if you get a concussion. So your calls on that, 1-300-736-736. Do you like that or not? Is it too conservative or about right? Todd Goldstein, not far away. Chris Anstey, as I mentioned, not far away. The Lakers at the moment against the 76ers, and the 76ers lead by 9, 90-18. There's about 5 minutes left in the last quarter. But Ben Simmons is performing brilliantly again. He's looking at a triple-double the way it is right now. Ben Simmons, 13 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. Tobias Harris, 18 points. Joel Embiid starring again, although he's not accumulating like he has been in recent games. Coming off a game off, so he is rested. 23 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. And for the Lakers, LeBron James, 31 points. Anthony Davis, 19 points. LeBron, 31 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists. But it does look like it might go down to the wire, that one. So we'll keep an eye on that one and talk to Chris Anstey about it very, very shortly as well. 1-300-736-736. Not far away from Todd Goldstein, but we'll sneak a call or two if you want to join me. Take your calls on the open line brought to you by Werribee Kia. And if you want to send through a text on the Temper text machine, Temper, T-E-M-P-U-R, Temper, a mattress like no other, that number 0433-98-11-16. One here on the Temper text, Brett saying, we need concussion subs ASAP. It's unfair for a player to get a little head knock and be ruled out for the entire match. Yeah, whether they're going to look at that, that's going to be an interesting one because it does open that up. I mean, if you want players to be 100% honest, that's exactly what they're probably going to have to do. Introduce a concussion sub at some stage. Afternoon, Dwayne, having a week's break between prelim and grand final will fix missing the grand final with concussion. 12-day rule, fantastic idea. I actually agree with that. We talked about it yesterday. That's from Matt in Roseworthy in SA. I agree with it. I think the week off that we used to have, or we do have right now, between the end of the final series and the start of the finals, could actually be put before the grand final. And I know Kane Corns talked about it on SEN as well yesterday. We could have the VFL grand final, the Waffle grand final, and the Stanford grand final all on that weekend off. You could have the EJ Witten game on that weekend off. You could have the Brownlow on that weekend off. So, yeah, it does open it up for that. Do you think that's a good idea? 1-300-736-736. Philadelphia 98, Lakers 86. 5 minutes 40 left in the last quarter, and I am told that I'm a little bit behind on my telly watching it. Chris Anstey has been good enough to join me, one of the greatest of all time, former NBA and NBL star. Welcome to you, Chris. Great to have you back on the program.
It's great to be back, Dwayne. Nice to have you back on here.
So you've been watching this Lakers-Philadelphia game like I, in between having a chat to people on the show and taking calls. Joel Embiid's been in some sort of form this year for the 76ers, and I know the numbers haven't quite been there for Ben Simmons, although they're accumulating nicely for a triple-double today. But this 76ers team looks like it's just starting to get a little bit of chemistry going, which we were always worried it might never do.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, largely been attributed for some people in the United States to their new coach, Doc Rivers, who took over from Brett Brown. And, you know, someone who's been around the NBA a very long time, and, you know, Ben and Joel seem to have bought in. And of course, there was a little bit of a hiccup when, by all reports, James Harden had agreed to the trade, or the trade had been agreed between Philly and Houston, and Ben had been told he was on the way out. Then, of course, at the last minute, James Harden ended up in Brooklyn. So there must have been a little bit unsettling for Ben for a little while, but No, you're right. He's having a much improved last week or two. But Joel Embiid, and you know, we've all known the talent he's had since he set foot in the league. You know, consistency hasn't been something he's demonstrated over his career. But so far this year, he's certainly one of the top five players in the league, certainly one of the favourites for that, for the NBA Most Valuable Player Award. And I guess there's still a little bit of a watch this space because, you know, he is emotional and he has been inconsistent. So we hope, of course, that he continues this sort of form throughout the rest of the season.
Can I just play a little bit of PTI from earlier today? Pardon the interruption, with Wilbon and Kornheiser talking about the fact that, well, there's been a bit of talk about championship or bust for the 76ers this year. If they don't get it right this year, then Ben Simmons might well be traded. Here's PTI from today.
Because that changes the arc of the game completely if you run on third down, right?
Yes.
Thus, we move now to an attractive matchup tonight. The Lakers, who are 10-0 on the road, are in Philadelphia to play the Sixers, who have the best record in the East right now. Daryl Morey, who's been running the Sixers for, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks, told Stephen A. Smith of ESPN, and I quote, "I think we are championship or bust," unquote. Wilbon, are the Sixers showing you signs that this is their year?
Yeah, they're showing me signs that they can play right now. You got Embiid. He's certainly in top 7 or 8 form right now after a few others. But Embiid's having his best season, all right? Ben Simmons is not having his best season yet, but he's on the way there. Ben Simmons not having his best season, still like 13-8-8. Now, if you convince me those guys are fine playing together, and here's why I'm going to disagree with my...
So championship or bust, Daryl Morey, the head of the 76ers organization, says that basketball is a different beast than football, Chris. It's not something that a president in the AFL would say, but he's decided to say it. Does that put pressure on, or does that just say it how it is?
It does both. It shows you what his level of expectation is from the front office, but one of the trickiest things that a professional sports person or coach can experience is a problematic front office, because they're not the ones taking the hits and making the basket. So, you know, I've been around that in the past, and certainly, you know, as long as LeBron James is in the league, as long as Giannis Antetokounmpo is in the league, I don't think any team can say it's championship or bust, because at some level that also discredits their opponents just a little bit. But I do certainly think that the Philadelphia 76ers would expect, and then should, you know, we should expect as a basketball public to see them competing at least in the Eastern Conference semifinals or finals. I think that's a given. Anything less than that, I think most would consider a failure. But look, championship or bust, they're really, really hard to win in a league of 30 teams with such superstars like the ones I mentioned. I mean, I think if they made the championship series or they made the Eastern Conference Finals and didn't go any further, you know, geez, I'd still think they'd consider the season a success.
And for the record, Ben Simmons has got that triple-double. He's number 17, 11 and 10 right now. Philadelphia 102, Lakers 91, still 3.5 minutes left. So the Lakers are still, in essence, the team to beat for you, Chris. LeBron's in awesome form, or do you like what the Nets are putting together now that they've got Harden?
No, I really don't like what the Nets are putting together now that they've got Harden. Their three best players don't defend, and they don't play well off the basketball. And it's going to be an incredibly difficult challenge for Steve Nash to mesh those three guys together. But even, you know, mentioning those three, there's a lot of talent on one court. And if they get it right, there's another team that the 76ers are going to have to go through. But look, the Lakers, yeah, they're clearly still the favourite. They've got established players who know what it takes to win championships. Of course, headlined by LeBron James, who a lot of people with the short break in between seasons thought might come into this season and pace himself a little bit. But most people have him as favourite to win MVP based on current form, even though his numbers aren't quite what they have been in the past, because he just wins. And he's demonstrated the ability to do that all his career. So, it's interesting, isn't it? Ben Simmons, you just mentioned, always seems to have really good games against LeBron. It's been pretty widely spoken about of their friendship and respect for each other. He just always seems to go to another game against the Lakers. It looks like they'll, you know, he'll hang on today and get another win.
And what are you hearing? I heard Brian Gorgian on SEN Breakfast this morning saying that he's been in touch with Ben Simmons. We hope the Olympics will go ahead. We don't know if it will or won't, but at the moment it's on until we're told it's not on. And if it is on, do the NBA players go? And does Ben Simmons come and play for Australia? We would have our best chance ever. I know you've been involved in many a campaign, Chris, but it would be our best medal chance ever to head to Japan and with a full complement of players. And I'll talk to you in a second about Josh Giddey, but boy, it'd be disappointing if we didn't get a chance.
Yeah, look, I think there'd be a few Olympic rosters that Australia's put together that would argue that they were a pretty good shot as well. And just the very last one, we came so agonisingly close. You know, a bad call by a referee, that's how close we were to a medal. But look, absolutely, we've got talent. Australian basketball has talent that compares to lots of other places in the world now, and that looks like being sustainable, which is incredibly exciting. But at the same time, we tend to forget, and we're unaware of the improvement that other nations are making as well. So I think having 7 to 10 players in the NBA is fantastic, but other countries have similar types of numbers, and Canada's another team whose improvement is tracking ours. And you know, we've still got the South Americans, we've got the European nations, and of course we've got the United States. So it's a really, really hard thing to do to win a medal at an international competition. We'd love for our men's side of the Australian representative program to be as successful as what our women's have been, and they've been there for a long time, and we're jealous to some extent, as much as we're happy for their success. But no, we can. We certainly have the ability to win a medal, but I certainly don't think it's a given.
And there's been talk that the 18-year-old young sensation that's playing for the 36ers right now and start again last night, especially starring against some of the older campaigners of the competition, like Lamar Patterson, who's been around for a few years now. He's been All-NBL first team the last two seasons. Would you put Josh Giddey in the squad, or do you think he will be in the squad?
Yeah, he'll be in the squad. I don't think he'll make the team, but look, it's the privilege, I suppose, the world might be of coaching Josh last January before COVID kicked in, and he's just a special talent. I know Brian Gorgian was on the radio this morning with Gary and Tim talking about how unique he is and how different he is to any Australian player we've had. And he's exactly that. And I've probably said since I experienced him firsthand that he passes the ball better than anyone I've seen in Australia since Darryl McDonald. And I think he's the best we've ever seen. That's the sort of length and vision that Josh has. And the way he sees the floor, you know, he's sneaky quick, and he's never played against men before. And you know, as he adjusts to playing in the NBL and learns to finish at the rim just a little bit better at senior level, because he's got exceptional touch around the rim at junior level, that, you know, I'm on record as saying he'll be a first-round draft pick a long time ago. And I think most people are starting to agree that I think on the most recent NBA draft board, even the Americans have got him in the low 20s now, and I think that might even drop a little bit further. And we were really, you know, fortunate to see LaMelo Ball in for an entire season before he became the third pick in the NBA draft last year. And it's very, very easy to make comparisons between Josh Giddey and LaMelo Ball. So let's see how Josh ends up. But as a number of people have said, let's enjoy him this year, because it's the last we're going to see him in Australia for a long time. He's going to have a long and successful NBA career.
So just before I let you go, Josh Giddey, the performances he's putting together right now in this NBL season, he's about 6 months older than what LaMelo Ball was playing in the NBL season when he came over. So it is a fair line to draw between the two. And do you think that the way he's playing against men right now is going to force a lot of people to reassess, because he looked so unbelievably confident for an 18-year-old, as if he's got things covered and he seems calm in a crisis?
Yeah, champions, I think, seem to have more time. And Josh doesn't often seem to be sped up, or he's not sped up, and his decision making, things slow down in his mind when he's on the basketball court. He sees every option available to him, some that most of us don't see. But look, the thing with Josh coming into the NBA draft is that it is a deeper draft and a stronger draft next year. You know, if we aligned him with LaMelo Ball, even if he was just a touch behind in a couple of areas, and athleticism might be one at this stage, you know, I still see him going mid-first round. You know, I don't see him dropping to the second round. He could get as high as a late lottery pick, but it's going to be fascinating, and I'm really interested to see how much Josh improves this season, because he's still got other gears left in him, which, is a really exciting thing for Australian basketball, and in the very short term, a scary thing for the other teams in the NBL, because he'll be a better player with 3 months' time.
Lakers have possession, by the way. They're down one. LeBron's got the ball, 105 to 104. Philadelphia lead. There's 24 seconds left on the clock. Shot clock says 12, and they've called a timeout. So Lakers might have a chance to steal this late. You were pretty critical of Lamar Patterson last night on Twitter. You don't like the way he's presented himself?
I really dislike it. I think he did the same thing last season, coming into the Brisbane Bullets and undoubtedly cost them at least two or three games early in the season, and by the end of the season was playing so well that he put himself into MVP contention. But, you know, at the same time, the Bullets missed the playoffs by percentage, so I would argue that he cost the Bullets a final spot. Who knows what they could have done, because they were playing great basketball at the end of the season. You know, he's coming out of shape. It's a professional league. It's one of the best in the world. You can't, the Breakers are 0-2 and have very high expectations. And this league's going to be tough. You know, I would hate to see the Breakers miss out by a game or percentage again, knowing how poorly Lamar Patterson presented himself coming into round one of the NBL season, because the shape he's in is going to take him at least two or three more weeks to get anywhere near where he was last season.
And who's your tip for Sunday? Do you like Josh Landale's prediction they'll go undefeated, Melbourne United?
No, they'll lose a game. There's not a chance anyone in this league goes undefeated. There are injuries, there are great shooting nights, there are poor shooting nights on United's behalf, and there's players that are going to need some rest. So they're certainly the favourite. They won't go undefeated. No, I think they've got the clear edge over the Phoenix this season any time they come up against each other.
Great to have you, Chris. Always a delight to be able to pick your brain, and we'll do it on a regular basis, hopefully, in 2021. The great Chris Anstey joining us. We'll talk soon.
Cheers, Dwayne. I look
Chris
forward
Anstey,
to
it. I'll let you watch the last 10 seconds of this Lakers-Philadelphia game. Philadelphia 105, Lakers with a Davis bucket 106. So it's 105-106, 11 seconds to go. The Lakers were double digits down. They've just taken the lead with 11 seconds left. The timeout's been called. We'll be back after this.